This is your brother James, and this is the Not As I Will podcast. Yeah, I wanted to welcome you to the new year in the U.S. It's the new year. Just finished the holidays, was a little busy. I've been coaching, wrestling, so I was a little occupied last month or so. It's going to start slowing down here. So I'm looking forward to getting back into it and getting a little more consistent. I hope everybody had a great holiday. And I hope, you know, the time with, you know, family and friends was needed. The rest that you need was needed, because it's important for us to rest. It is. As believers, it's important for us to rest. And just, you know, just think. It's okay to sit and think and not have anything going on. You know, it's okay. And I tend to, you know, I tend to be a little bit more focused in that area than my wife is, right? I tend to be a little bit more like, I just want to sit here and do nothing for a minute, and that's okay. She tends to be like, if we're not doing something, it's like bad. So that's always kind of a struggle. I did want to talk about serving a little bit. And you know, Christ says, you know, I did not come to serve, but to, I mean, I did not come to be served, but to serve. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark, what is that? 8:24, I believe. So, yeah, I did not come to serve, but to, 10:24. Sorry, yeah, 10:24. And I think it's important for us to understand that that's what we're really looking for. If you're like in a place where you're like depressed or something's going on, I think God might be calling you to serve. You know, serve somebody. Because the tendency is you get like, you know, you get insular. You stop, you know, you cut yourself off from other people, and you get, you know, and you start looking at yourself and everything that's going on. It becomes a very selfish, you know, engagement. And that's usually where depression comes in. But what God wants us to do is to serve other people. Now, sometimes you're like at your limit, you've been serving too much, and you need to slow down with the serving, right? When I was a single guy, I used to serve way too much. Way too much. You might have heard this before. I've said it. You know, my rule was 4 days a week I was doing something spiritual. One of those days was always serving, you know, at least, you know, maybe more. Depending, you know, sometimes at church I would serve on a day I had church, right? I'd go to a Bible study and then I'd serve after the Bible study, you know. I'd go to, you know, serving something where I'm like cleaning the church, doing something like that. I would do four things a week, four out of the 7 days a week, I would be doing something, you know, not necessarily at the church, but something where I'm growing spiritually. And I believe that, you know, people are looking for that, believe it or not. Even though they don't realize it, it's like if they would just serve, their life would be better and they would just know, my life is better. And I take for granted the fact I am a teacher. I take for granted for the fact that I am a teacher, and my life is a light. You know, I'm serving. You know I get paid. I know I get compensated, but it is still like a serving job. It's a daily service job where I'm constantly serving, right? And so, one thing I do take that for granted. I really do. I wish I didn't, but I do, because the thing about it is I sometimes will be like, you know, I want to go serve, but then I realize the time, you know, out when I was serving too much, I would be worn out for like my actual job, right? Where, you know, and I get it. You're being compensated. It is different when you're being compensated versus doing it voluntarily, right? It's definitely different. However, I think if you're in a continuous state of serving, you take for granted the actual experiences you are having and like, you know, and the actual like fulfillment you have from your job. you know, and I really do. I don't envy people who have jobs where they're sitting in an office and they are, you know, kind of serving their boss essentially and not really serving other people. And, you know, a lot of jobs try to make it out to be, oh, we're serving these people, we're serving these people. But really, you're just getting money for the company, right? And I can see how that could wear on you. And my job, I'm not getting any money for anybody. It's, you know, yeah, I get paid, but I'm not making anybody money. And it's basically like you're doing this for kids for free. Essentially, the kids aren't making you money, even though they're your, the reason why you're showing up to work. They're not, you know, you're not bringing any money for because the kid's there. I was at a private school, and that was a little different. Essentially, I was, you know, the kid was the money maker, right? Because the kid was their parents were paying for the school, so that's a little different. And I think I realized I was not very happy at that school because of that. I'm at a public school now, a lot happier because my job isn't based upon a child's performance. It's just because there's nobody else who wants to do my job. So I'm there and I do it. And I do it at a high level. I do it to the best of my ability. You know, I feel, you know, there's always room for growth. I feel like I don't spend a ton of time in my planning. I should probably spend more time planning. However, I do feel like my enthusiasm and kind of just my natural ability to teach is a high level. And so I do enjoy, you know, like I enjoy it, and I come home and I'm fulfilled and I'm not upset, you know. My wife also she's a nurse, and her job is, you know, serving people who are dying. Which is she helps very sick people, and so I'm constantly reminding her about that and how it's like important for us to embrace it and enjoy it. But the one thing you have to do if you're in a serving industry, if you're in a serving job, is you have to fill yourself up spiritually outside of that to make sure you have something to pour out. Because if you have nothing to pour out, it becomes a very very dry, you know. There's nothing in your cup to pour out, so it's kind of bitter, right? It creates bitterness, and you don't want that. So it's important that, you know, I'm married. I try to at least on Sundays I go to church, right? But I try to at least one day a week do something on top of that. And what I found is I need to spend more time, you know, on my. When I come home, I usually like spend time in worship, or I spend time praying, I spend time reading, something like that. On a time when I could be doing something else, I try to just spend, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes doing just something spiritual when I come home at night. That way I'm also getting filled up there, and I'm not completely relying on another thing I have to go to in the middle of the week, which can be draining a little bit just based on the time. You know, so usually a Bible study is at like 7 p.m. You know, I got to wake up at 5:30 in the morning. I don't get home till 9 p.m. And it's just a lot, you know, it's just a lot. But it doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means it's a lot. And something I have to like force myself and get in a habit and a routine of. But yeah, it's also one of those things where it comes across as being very, you know, a lot of people think it sounds legalistic to, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. No, it's like, I need to do this or else I am not going to be as influential, productive, whatever you want to call it, in my sphere of influence if I don't do this. And then I become insular, depressed, and I wonder why I'm like not happy. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at with that.
I also wanted to address today the idea of entertainment, right? I feel like today's day and age, like I work with kids for a living, and there's just like this constant need to be entertained, and there's not a lot of discipline, you know. And I see it in the church as well, where we go to church to be entertained, and we're like, well, this isn't entertaining to me, so I don't want to go here, you know. First off, I don't know if the people who are thinking like that are actually tithing to their church, because I think if they were tithing, they would be getting, you know, fed spiritually, you know. People do get fed spiritually without tithing, but I just don't think it's at the same level, right? So I pray for the church today that the idea of needing to be entertained is just like rooted out. And we, you know, in January, most churches are in some kind of season of prophecy and fasting. Same with our church. We do a form of fasting. We fast every Wednesday for 24 hours, and then we break the fast Wednesday nights as a church. And I do think it's a practice that's, you know, maybe not practiced or talked about in typical churches. Like, I would probably say, you know, and it doesn't necessarily need to be talked about, but it should be at least encouraged, because I can say, like, I went, you know, when I first started fasting, I started doing just dinner. Like, I would just fast dinner. So I would, you know, I would eat lunch, just don't eat dinner. And that was hard, you know, for a while. I did that for a while. And then I progressed into, like, you know, 24-hour fast. Those, you know, the first one was really hard. Like, I remember, like, reaching for food. It was just, like, a natural reaction to reach for food. I did 24 hours every week for a year one time. And then I progressed into, you know, 48 hours. And I ultimately did a 72-hour once. And that was rough. That was really hard. But the point is I did learn patience, and I learned, like, every time I did a fast, there was always something that was irritating me, or like I'd be in a situation where I'm just like irritated, and all of a sudden I get in a similar situation after a fast and I wouldn't be irritated. It was just like a crazy thing. Like, I just was a lot more calm and more at peace. So it's definitely worth it. And I definitely think people need to practice that more. It's kind of like, you know, praying, reading, worshiping are like the main things that I talk about mostly, you know, training your spiritual, central nervous system, you know, praying, reading, worshiping, those things are needed. But the fasting is the fourth one that we don't talk about too much, but it is definitely something that we should do. And like I said, like, you know, what you do is you start off just, I'm just going to fast one meal a day, you know, and just do that for a week. Do that, like, once every 6 months or something, and just see how it goes. And, you know, you don't just, like, don't eat, right? You don't eat, and then instead of eating, you, like, pray, worship, read, right? Reading the Bible, that is. Or watching a sermon, listening to a sermon, something like that. Because it's important to replace, you know, when you're supposed to be eating with, you know, the word or something spiritual. So that's kind of where I feel we're letting the church down. And that's where I feel like this idea of entertainment comes from, is that we're not being taught disciplinary practices. And I see it a lot. I see it all the time. I didn't like that sermon. That sermon, you know, it was kind of boring. And it's like, well, if you're, you know, intentionally spending time with the Lord, you're going to get something out of every sermon, you know, and there shouldn't be a boring sermon. There shouldn't be a boring church service. There just shouldn't. Like, yeah, no, okay, there's probably are churches that are, you know, but I would say the majority, especially if there's like a decent amount of people going to that church, it's probably more on you than it is on the church you're going to, or the pastor, or anything like that, right? You know, sometimes you get to like a really tiny church, and yeah, you wonder why it's tiny, and it's usually because it's not very, you know, like, I'm not sure where the fruit is, you know? Because as much as I want to like be a, like, I'm not against small churches. I was a part of a small church, but ultimately it started to grow, you know? And the thing is you do need a little growth. You do need a certain amount of people to contribute, and financially, so that way there can be, you know, mission work being done through that church. Because that's how you know God's a part of it, is when there's mission work being done, when there's people going out, when there's people, you know, either local missions or missions, you know, in another country. But without a lot of people and without funds, you can't do those things. So I do think the church in the U.S. does need to be, you know, there is a form of, you know, financial flourishment, or, you know, something where the finances need to be flourishing, right? That way there can be money to go out. If you don't have a lot of people, you don't have a lot of money coming in. Sometimes there's that, you can't do that, you know, and, you know, a church starts off small, you know, and that's okay. But over, you know, the course of 5-10 years, there should be a steady amount of growth. So, anyway, I just wanted to talk about the entertainment and how I just feel there's something that's missing in our church today. And it's, you know, a lot of it has to do with the idea of needing to be entertained, one, being stimulated, and, you know, being, you know, and the reason I say this is because I work with kids, and all the time it's just like, if you're not entertaining them, they almost like don't care. They don't get it. They don't want to get it. They don't care. But if you can find a way to kind of stimulate them, they understand a little better and usually get something out of them. You know, however, I don't believe that that should be the solution, right? I mean, there's a component of, you know, I can design something that is relatively entertaining, well, relatively stimulating, but I don't, ultimately, at the end of the day, there's information I need to get to you, and you just gotta, you gotta know it. And sometimes it's not going to be the most entertaining for me, you know, way for me to get it to you. So just to, you know, close it all up, service is what people are looking for. We're engaged by entertainment and stimulation. Fasting kind of brings us into a place, instead of being wanting to be entertained, we move into a place of, I need to serve my church. I need to serve this community I'm in. I need to serve here. And fasting is the key. Okay. So service is what we're really looking for. Fasting gets us there. But we're currently in a place of entertainment and stimulation, which is something that needs to change. And through fasting, it roots out all those issues. You know, there's a lot of things you got to do, but fasting definitely can draw us close and weed out some of those things that are rooted in us to want to do that, want to do the entertainment, want to be stimulated. So I just pray anybody listening to this, and then the people in the church, just to engage in fasting. Because Jesus, you know, Matthew 6, when you fast, Jesus said, it's not if you fast. He said, when you fast, do not do it as the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Do not be like them, for they have received the reward in full. Okay, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. And your Heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you openly.
And this was your brother James, and this is the podcast, Not As I Will.